Praise God. There you go. Well, you've blown me away. It is great, great to see you both, in particular, and Tech as well. I mean, I'm just trying to think, how long ago is it? 2010. That was down in Carpenter's Arms, weren't it? Yeah, praise the Lord. Well, you're looking good. You're way different to when I remember you all, you know, those 3 years back. So that's fantastic. And to see that God has kept his hand on you.
Amen.
You know, and that's the great thing. That you and I can, like Bill was saying, you know, you and I can sort of, at times, people can do something to us. And the old nature, the old man, wants to get up and say, let me just, you know, just 1 minute off, God. That's all I need, you know. And I'll feel better. But you won't.
You don't feel better.
And you and I should not be ruled by our feelings. Today people have got up and the sun's shining. And they all feel wonderful. But do you know something? Every day the sun's shining. It never goes out, does it? It always shines. It happens to be that we get some clouds in the way, don't we? And then when we get that cloud, we start feeling depressed and saddened. It's raining again. Well, that's why we have a green and pleasant land, because it rains. You know? And the rain, you know, the rain causes food to grow. And everything else to grow. You know, the rain is needed just as much as the sunshine is needed. Yeah, we've just had an abundance of clouds, and now we've got the clouds have all gone away at the moment, and we can see this bright sun that God has created for us to give us warmth.
Amen.
But you know, as Bill was saying, you know, some people can do things to you, take from you, and it's mine, they took from me. They did something to me, and that wasn't, you know. But it's like we started earlier on when we were praying, and we finished with the Lord's Prayer. And we say, Father, forgive us our trespasses as we forgive others. But most of the time we're like, forgive me, Lord, but don't forgive them. Make them, yeah, that's right. Make them suffer. Let me tell you this. Without God, they're already suffering.
Yeah.
Remember that.
Yeah.
They're desperate, and yet they can't see it.
No. They don't know it.
They don't know it. No, they don't. And there's two young men here. And I just think, wow. 3 years ago, without God in his life, and his life was going down a bit of a slide, weren't it, you know, and it was a bit slippy, and he thought he was hanging on, but life was going away. 3 years later, he's grabbed hold of God, and God's grabbed hold of him.
Amen.
And he's been drawn closer and closer to God.
Yeah.
Jesus came to give us life and give us it with an abundance. And
Amen.
Whatever we do, don't let circumstances around you govern you.
Amen. Amen.
Don't let circumstances around you govern you.
No.
Because the moment that we do that, we're subject to things around us. And we become a person who is only happy and not joyful. And there's a difference. I'm happy when my car's running okay. I'm happy when my motorbike starts when I want to go for a ride on it. Yesterday, no, Friday, it wouldn't start.
You were still happy. You were still happy,
weren't you? And I wasn't happy. I wasn't happy. Heap of junk and this thing and etc. So I weren't happy. But you see, I have a different. I have something different inside me. I have a joy that is from God.
Amen.
You see, happiness is an emotion that is ruled by circumstances around us.
Yeah.
A little bit later on, I managed to get the battery charged and it started. Then I was happy. What a foolish way to live.
Yeah.
If we're not careful, we're living by this high and low. Whatever's happening to us, I'm happy, I'm not happy, I'm happy, I'm not happy. The Bible says the joy of the Lord is your strength.
Amen.
And joy is the fruit of the Spirit.
Amen.
You see? Happiness is to do with things, and it's an emotion. It can be a gloomy day and we can get up in the morning and go, what an awful day. Oh, it's raining, I've got to go out. Or to some people today, they may get up and look at the sunshine and think, oh, what an awful day. It's 80 degrees plus, and oh, I hate this sort of weather. Oh, I'm depressed. You know, and you're thinking, these are emotions. Paul said, I have learned to be content in every situation. Why? Because what he had received from the Lord was joy. Now, there's a scripture that says in Thessalonians, in everything, give thanks. Why? Because it's the will of God. Give thanks to God. Because it's, no matter what's going on, God has got his hand on you. No matter what's going on, God's hand is constantly upon you. It says, I was reading today in the scriptures, and it said there in scripture, it said that even the sparrow, God knows what it has need of. God feeds the birds. He knows what you have need of. Constantly there is God's provision. And it's wonderful. I'm a little stuck on scriptures these days at the moment. I'm stuck really in Matthew. I'm stuck with Matthew chapter 6 and verse 33. I shared this with somebody in the US and it just blew them away. And in Matthew chapter 6 and verse 9, it starts with the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name.
Amen.
Matthew chapter 6 and verse 33 says, seek ye first.
Yes. The king.
Of the kingdom of God. Now you might look in your Bible, tech, and you might see it says, seek ye first the kingdom of God. Can you just read that out to me, please, would you? Amen. Thank you for that. That's not a bad translation. But what God said to me was, seek ye first the King. Who's the King?
Jesus.
Seek ye first the King of the kingdom of God and his righteousness, the King's righteousness. You see, a kingdom in itself has no righteousness. The righteousness, the quality of the kingdom comes from the King.
Amen.
It comes from the very throne room. It comes from His authority, the way He rules and reigns.
Yeah.
Is that not true?
Yeah.
You know, you can have a kingdom that's a great kingdom because you have a good king. You can have a kingdom with a bad king and it's a bad place to live.
Yeah?
Yeah. A tyrant, that's right. You can have a tyrant for a king and people don't want to live in that place.
No.
We even see it to some degree these days in the wars that are happening and some of the countries. There are still areas where there are tyrants ruling nations and keeping them in abject poverty. North Korea is one. Massive poverty. And yet next door, South Korea, rich, wealthy, affluent people, because God, Jesus, is in that nation.
Amen.
In North Korea, they're keeping Him out. And the people are poor. They've barely enough food to put on the table to eat and to live. Would you want to live in that kingdom?
No.
It's a little bit like a picture of the devil. He wants a kingdom himself.
Yeah.
And if you want a kingdom, you want subjects.
Yeah.
Yes?
Yeah.
The only way you're going to have a kingdom is have some subjects. And the devil wants to rule over you.
Yeah.
He wants to take control of you. And in some way, he wants to grab hold of you. Whether it be alcohol, whether it be drugs, whether it be sex, whether it be money. He wants to be able to control you and bring you down.
That's it.
And yet, our King Jesus said, I'm giving my life for you. I'm paying your debts. I'm setting you free. I'm going to give you a new opportunity, a new life.
Amen.
I'm going to make you free.
Cool.
Turn with me to Matthew. Are you free, are you? He whom the Son sets free, the Word of God says, is free indeed.
Amen.
Are you free?
I am free.
Has the Son set you free?
Yes.
And I don't mean the S-U-N, I mean the S-O-N, the Son of God. Has He set you free?
He sure has.
Praise His wonderful name. I started reading again today in Matthew chapter 3. And verse 1 it says, Now in those days John the Baptist came preaching in the wilderness of Judea, saying, Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And it reminded me of Seek ye first the King of the kingdom. And John is saying, Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. It's close by. It's just about ready to appear. It's just about in reach for you now.
Yeah.
That's how close it was. And then he says in verse 3, it says, For this is the one reference by Isaiah the prophet, saying, The voice of one crying in the wilderness, Make ready the way of the Lord, make His path straight. He's preparing the way for Jesus. He's preparing the way for the King to enter the kingdom. And to begin to claim His subjects.
Yeah.
You and I have a choice. Who is going to rule over us? You know, we have a choice in the elections, don't we? We vote for people. We don't vote this time.
No.
Who is going to rule over you?
No.
It's either Jesus... Or it's the devil.
Yeah.
There are only two choices. Jesus or the devil. Now John was baptizing people. Verse 5 it says, then Jerusalem was going out to him, and all Judea and all the districts around the Jordan, and they were being baptized by him in the river Jordan as they confessed their sins. And when he saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees coming for baptism, it says in my Bible, and I thought, wow, I'd never noticed that before. The Pharisees and the Sadducees were also coming for baptism. This is what upset John. These people, self-righteous, one group lived by the law and said, we do everything by the law and that's it, and there is no other way. The other one denied, the Sadducees denied everything that was spiritual. There were two opposite camps, and neither of them knew God. But they were coming to be baptized because they wanted anything that was going, they were going to take it, just in case. And John looks at them and says, in verse 7, John said to them, you brood of vipers. It's not very nice, is it? Oh, yeah. I wondered why at times he'd said it to them. You brood of vipers. Who warned you to flee from the wrath to come? He says, how do you know that you've got to be baptized? What do you understand about it? Who warned you? Because certainly you don't talk to God, you don't listen to God. But you see, to be baptized, you have to repent. You have to repent. Verse 8, he says, therefore, bring forth fruits in keeping with repentance. Repentance, that's a big word, isn't it? I was thinking about that. How can you demonstrate repentance? Who drives a car here? Anybody drive a car? Anybody taking lessons to drive a car? Nope, not yet. Okay, but you've ridden in a car, obviously, haven't you? And on the left-hand side of the driver is a handbrake, isn't there? And you've heard about these handbrake. Have you got one? Have you got one? I haven't got one in mind. They've taken it away. It spoils things in winter time. You can't do handbrake turns. I mean, it was great. The other car I used to have, they all had handbrakes, and if you were skidding a bit, you could just use that handbrake and you could just get the car nicely sliding and keep it in, do what you wanted with it. Now, I can't with a Volvo, it takes all the fun out of it.
One toy less.
One gadget less to play with, I suppose. But you see, repentance is a bit like being in a car and taking a handbrake turn. The moment that you and I repent, it's like grabbing the handbrake on the car and spinning the wheel and going back the other direction.
Yeah,
without stopping.
Yeah.
Without even thinking about it. You see it on TV, don't you? These stunt guys, and they're running down the road at high speed, and suddenly they whip the handbrake on, the car spins around the other way. There's no hesitation. The car just doesn't sort of stop and wait. They just seem to have that momentum where that car immediately turns and carries on in the back in the original direction it was coming from. That's what God wants you and I to do. When God reaches down for the sinner, he's literally grabbing hold of them before they go over the edge. And he's spinning them around and saying, come on, this is the way. God wants you to go the other way. His way.
Yeah.
The way of the world is easy.
Yeah.
Anybody can live like the world.
Yeah.
Nobody questions what you do.
No.
It's okay, do whatever you want. It's fine. Nobody's going to question it. But I tell you this, one day, somebody will question it.
Yep.
And that's God. And the question will be simply this: what did you do with Jesus? Did you grab the handbrake and say, I'm on a road to disaster? In fact, the road runs out.
Yeah.
Do you grab the handbrake? It's Jesus. And turn and head towards God. It's quite exciting in a car in snow doing a handbrake turn. Have you ever done it, Bill? I thought you might have somehow. I could tell you one of them, you know. Lovely to practice. No, Graham? Oh, you don't know what you're missing. Absolutely. You know, when we get some snow, we'll go out in your car and we'll do some handbrake turns. Oh, there you go. Bill's got another place we can go. You know, it gives you a buzz. Don't it? You know, you're pushing the boundaries of everything. You're getting to know what's happening and how things work. You know, when you grab that handbrake, when you grab hold of Jesus, he will push the boundaries.
Yeah.
He will spin you around. And he will cause you to go forward in such a way that you've never gone before.
Amen.
He will cause you to reach destinations and goals that you've never anticipated ever reaching. He will give you a new future, a new hope.
Amen.
See, God did not come into your life and into my life to stop us having fun.
No way.
I like to have fun.
Yeah.
I enjoy having fun. I enjoy my life.
Mm-hmm.
Life's great. Mm-hmm. Some people are just hanging on and waiting till the undertaker comes. Well, I ain't even thinking about an undertaker. I'll overtake any time. Glory to God. You know, come on in Jesus' name. You know, I'm not looking to death. You know, some people say, they'll advertise on TV or ring you up and say, have you prepared for your burial? No. Well, you should. Should I? Okay. Joan, I can't even think about it. I'm too busy. I'm too busy doing other things. And it's like, well, what happens if something suddenly happened to you? Who are you going to leave this to and that to? I don't know, because when I'm gone, I'm gone, and that's it. At the moment, I'm focused on living.
Amen.
Living for God.
Yeah.
Living in the kingdom. Now, maybe I should make a will and sort a few things out, you know. It stops everybody arguing, doesn't it? And falling out.
Oh, it stops the devil getting your money.
That's the other thing. Stops the devil getting your money, I suppose. You know, you leave it to the right things that you know it will be used. If I go before Jesus comes back. If. I don't know when he's coming. But I do know this. I'm ready.
Amen.
I'm ready. I know that. You know, one day it may come that I just change suits. And suddenly, I'm wearing this earthly suit. And suddenly, John, I'm wearing this new spiritual suit. I'm created fully in the image of him. When that thief was on that cross, and they were railing on him, and said, if you're the Son of God, get us down from here. They didn't want to die. And they were cursing him and railing on him. Then one of the thieves began to realize that he deserved this punishment. And he looked across to Jesus. And he said, Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom. And Jesus looked at him and said, this day, not in 30 years, not in 2,000 years, he said, this day you shall be with me in God's paradise. Yes. In the moment, in a twinkling of an eye, we shall be in the presence of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Hallelujah. You know, there's not going to be we're not going to be left in limbo.
No.
We're in the presence of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And John the Baptist here declares, repent, turn around from your sinful way. Change the direction that your life's going.
Amen.
Change it. The only way you and I can change it is when we grab hold of Jesus. And when we grab hold of Jesus, we can change our destiny. We can
Amen.
Change our future with Him
Amen.
Leading us and directing us. Mm. Let Him take control of our lives and direct us in the right way. And take us away from that which pulls us down.
Yeah.
That which would seek to destroy us. He wants to lead you on into Himself, into the very presence of God.
Thank you, Lord.
And in Matthew 6, as he taught us in the Lord's Prayer, Father, hallowed be thy name.
Yeah.
Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. On earth as it is in heaven, give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, forgive us our transgressions, as we forgive others. Sometimes it's not easy to forgive people. They can have done you a deep hurt, done you a great misservice and injustice. And our sinful nature wants to rise up and strike out and bring revenge. We've all been there. We're all tempted by it at different times. The question is, what fruit do you bring forth? You bring forth the fruit of the Spirit. If you start to retaliate, you're as bad as they are. You're worse than they are. Because you know better. We know a better way. The Bible says, pray for your enemies. Pray for those that despitefully use you. Has anybody been used? You know, you try and be kind to people, don't you? You try and help people. And they spin you a story, a yarn. They'll tell you a wonderful story. They'll tell you a story. They've got stories. They should write books, these people. And they tell you stories of their difficulties, their hardships. And some of these are right. But they use it to manipulate you.
Yeah.
To steal from you. And there are people who just do it because they do it. Have no explanation, have no reasoning. Somehow they extract finance from you, or they extract something along the way. They deceive us. Well, the Bible says, pray for those who despitefully use you. See, they have no regard for you. And they use you. Everything that you and I do, we should do it as if we're doing it unto the Lord Jesus Christ. I mean, I can look back over the last 6-7 years working in Teen Challenge. I can remember, you know, the difficulties of talking to some of these guys. I can remember sometimes feeling despair.
Yeah.
Thinking, what am I doing? Am I wasting my time? Can I put my time to better use? And sometimes you get to a point where you think, can I put my time to a better use for me? You know? Just there taking my time, weren't you? But you have to realize that when you look back, you can see that time invested brings a blessing.
Amen.
Time invested sets people on a new way.
Yeah.
It's not about you, it's about what we can give that from the heart of God. Yeah. It's about what God can do in a person's life to change their lives. God wants to change people's lives today. He's not changed. The world has changed, but God has not changed. And God is wanting to change lives today. God is wanting to equip each and every one of us for the work of the kingdom of God. God wants to use each and every one of us with our anointing that the power of God works through us. We've heard testimony today already of somebody who's been praying that their eyesight would improve. Been to the opticians, and the opticians have said, yeah, your eyesight has improved.
Amen. Thank you.
Now we know for a fact, as you get older, eyesight gets worse. So obviously that person must be getting younger, like Scripture says, God will renew your youth like the eagles. You know, the devil wants to steal your youth. He wants to steal your time. He wants to steal your energy. He wants to steal your health.
He does. He's not getting mine.
And God wants to give to you, back to you, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. God wants to give you blessings.
He wants to increase you more and more.
Yeah, God wants to increase you. But the fact is, that only happens as you have that relationship with Him. All of these things that we share and that we talk about come out of a relationship with God. Many people that I speak to think that God, well, why is God letting this happen? Why is God letting that happen in the world? Why is the killings, why is the robbings and murders and all these things going on in the world and all these disasters? Simple answer to that is, we told God to take off and stuff it.
Yeah.
In a nutshell. We said, we don't need you anymore. Get out of our schools, get out of our governments, get out of our policies and everything else. We don't need you. So God said, okay. You know, as a nation comes to God, the word says, blessed is a nation that comes to God. When we put God first, when we put God right in the center of our lives and says, my life is going to be run and governed by God Himself.
Yeah.
You might say, well, I don't know God. How do I get to know Him? How do I know He's going to look after me? I'll tell you this. The Bible says God is love.
Amen.
And love does not do things to hurt and to destroy.
No.
It may bring some correction.
It
may bring some discipline. But the discipline is there and the correction is there for protection.
Yeah, yeah. And it will happen. Yeah.
You have a young child heading towards an open fire, going to put its hand in the fire. What do you do? Do you let it carry on and put its hand in the fire? Because
no.
If you do, you're cruel.
Yeah.
You say to it, no. And you stop it, don't you? Then a few minutes later, the child heads for the fire again. It wants to experience this new thing that it's seen. And you say no, and you push it away. So when your back's turned, it's off again. It's going to experience this new thing. I've got to experience this new thing. And so in the end, you really get annoyed, and you say no, and you do this. And you smack the hand. And you cause pain in the hand that's going to go into the fire, don't you?
Yeah.
And then somebody says to you, oh, beating a child, of all things that you could do.
Yeah.
Well, ask them the question, well, stupid, do you want me to let the child burn its hand first? This is the stupidity that the world has got to.
Yeah.
Sometimes correction is good, because it protects us from that which is not good. It protects us from something that could do everlasting damage.
Yeah. Yeah.
A burnt hand, withered hand because of a fire, as against a smack. that stings for a moment, but brings them to a point of realization, there's something about that that I should not touch. And as they grow older, they understand what fire does. And realize, they come to that wisdom and that knowledge and revelation. And in the same way, God sometimes has to hold us back.
Yeah.
Sometimes I felt like God's given me one of them, you know. Oh, okay. You know. Yeah, yeah. Hey, we all have. Because we're a bit stubborn, we're a bit rebellious at times, and we think, I'm okay, I can do it. And God says, no, you can't. Children are like that. They know what they're doing. Don't, get off, go, I can do it. Okay, get on with it. They don't do it, they can't do it. We need to be taught constantly that we grow in the things of God.
Yeah.
God wants you to grow. God wants you to be blessed.
Yeah.
God wants to bless you with the things of the kingdom of God. Seek ye first the King of the kingdom of God, and all these things and His righteousness will be added unto you. It's a verse of scripture I'm struggling to get away with. The last verse in Matthew 6, verse 34, says this. I guess what it really is saying there is that once you've found the King of the kingdom, therefore you'll not be anxious for tomorrow.
No.
For tomorrow has enough cares of itself. You see, I've met recently a lot of people who are anxious. They're worried about the future. They're stressing about what's going to happen maybe tomorrow. Does anybody know that they are definitely going to wake up in the morning and be here tomorrow? Exactly. Only God knows. Sufficient thereof unto this day. You see, at the moment, I know I've got strength for today and the now. I don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. I've made plans for tomorrow. Have you?
Yeah.
But let me tell you this. I don't know whether I'm going to wake up in your tomorrow. Do I? I can hope I'm going to wake up in your tomorrow. But if I don't, I shall wake up in eternity. Life will not stop for me. So why should I stress? Why should I be anxious? Why should I be worried? Can you give me a reason? Huh? Well, if you worry and stress and be anxious, you probably get there quicker, yeah. That's why the Bible says, be anxious for nothing. Cast all your care on Him, it says. Because God cares for you. Worry gives you grey hair.
Yeah.
Worry can cause you to go bald, Ray. Worry can...
I was just thinking,
if you start worrying, you might get some hair. Yeah, right, there you go. Then again, if you carry on worrying, it might be grey hair. So who knows, you know. But the thing is that worry also stresses the body so much, this physical being. This body was not created to worry and to stress. It was created to live in God's peace. You see, Jesus came and said, my peace I leave with you. Jesus never worried once. When he was in a boat and it was being tossed backwards and forwards and it was about to sink. How do I know it was about to sink? Because he was with sailors who'd been in circumstances and situations and they'd seen boats in these types of storms sink. So they were convinced they were going down. And what's Jesus doing? He's asleep. That's just what you need when you need an extra hand to bail out this water, isn't it? You know. Excuse me, Can you get hold of this bucket and throw some water out, please? They shook him and woke him. What do you think you're doing? Asleep. We're about to sink. We're going to die. He's like, what? Did you not hear what I said? He said, when we set off from the shore, I said, come, let us go to the other side. Take note of that. And they're all panicking. You see, they're now living on their emotions. Yeah? They're living on their emotions, what they can see, what's around them. It's an emotional situation. Jesus walks to the front of the boat, stands upon the front, and says, peace, be still. He says, and immediately the wind stopped and the waves subsided, and they were at the other side. That's the power of my God.
Amen.
That's the power of my Jesus. When you listen to what he says and you do what he tells you to do, he will take you to the other side.
Amen.
See, God is not about to drop you somewhere in the middle and say, swim for it yourself, because I'm going to the other side. You know, he's got hold of you. The thing is, are you going to keep hold of him? You've got to hold on. Hold on tight.
Yeah.
And he will take you to the other side.
Amen.
God wants to bless you. God wants to see you increase. God wants to see you living in peace. God wants to see you having a relationship with him like a real friend.
Yeah.
My God's not a God who is somewhere out there. I talk to him every day. I spend time with him every day.
Amen.
He lives with me. There's an old song, an old hymn that we used to sing. And the chorus goes, he walks with me, he talks with me, and he tells me I'm his own. And there's a joy that we share as we tarry there. Nobody else can really know. He walks with me, and he talks with me, and he tells me that I am his own. Yeah. That's right, I come to the garden alone, whilst the dew is on the roses yet. And the voice I hear, calling on my ear, the Son of God, discloses. Yeah. And he walks with me, and he talks with me, and he tells me, you're mine. You're mine. That's the relationship that God wants you and I to have with him every day. He's not a God that's somewhere out there. He's not a God that suddenly appears just on a Sunday or a Wednesday. It's 24/7.
Amen.
24/7. Don't take a day off at Christmas Day neither.
No.
He's always there. Praise his wonderful name. I just want to encourage you today. Don't let go of God. Don't let go of what God wants to do. Take hold of Jesus. Seek ye first the King. Have a relationship. Get close to him. Let him get close to you.
Yeah.
Listen to his voice. Watch him begin to change your life and your circumstances. But it's about being disciplined.
Yeah.
It's about becoming a disciple. It's about turning around and saying, I'm no longer going in that direction.
Yeah.
That direction is going to take me to a grave. That direction is going to take me to an early death. That direction is going to take me to disaster. But the direction of the cross will give you eternal life.
Yeah.
Which is the best offer?
The cross.
The cross.
The cross.
Yeah. He will give you eternal life. Amen. Hallelujah. He's exchanging your death for His life. There's one thing for certain. As we carry on and live our life, at the end of it, there's death. But if we exchange that life and we give our life to God, we exchange it for eternal life in Christ Jesus. Praise His wonderful name. Oh, you won't be exempt from problems and difficulties, because that is part of training you. You don't get good soldiers, and you don't get people who are fired up and equipped to do things unless they've gone through a training program. You don't send young kids to war and say, here's a gun, there you go, you're okay. We have the best army in the world. And the reason for it is we put them through training and training and training and training. And we teach and we teach and we teach. Your fathers know about that, don't they? Being ex-Gurkhas. They survive, manage, because they were trained and taught to use the equipment they were given. And in the same way, as believers in Christ Jesus, we have weaponry.
Amen.
It's the Word of God. The Word of God. And this is what we use to win the battle. The battle of our mind, the battle of against the spiritual forces that come against us, we use the Word of God. And as we use this Word, it will set you free. Yeah. The Bible says the truth will set you free.
Amen.
How much of the truth you read is how much freedom you will have.
Yeah, that's right.
Praise God.
Yeah.
Be encouraged. And if you don't know Jesus today in any way,
yeah,
or if you've just lost some of your faith in Him, come and talk to us. We'll spend time with you, encourage you. You need to be in the house of God. You need to be with the people of God.
Amen.
And see God change your life and set you on a new path, a new
Amen.
Direction.
Amen.
And see the blessings of God pressed down, shaken together, and running over, coming into your life.
Amen?
Praise His wonderful name. The Lord bless you.